This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammad wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Fama ba'du. My dear brothers and sisters, we are on the lessons from Suratul Luqman. And in that we are looking at the advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son with respect to being dutiful and obedient to parents. And I mentioned to you the importance of that and the in both the cases, the father and the mother. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned the woman. Allah mentioned the mother. People who think that in Islam there is no that women are discriminated against and so on and so forth. People who claim that in Islam women are discriminated against and so on and so forth should read these ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned and emphasized the woman. Allah emphasized the role of the mother. Although, as far as the parents are concerned, the importance of them is equal. The father and the mother are both equal. But yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and emphasized the importance of the mother. There is also the famous hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a man came to him and he asked him, who should I serve the most? Who deserves and he's talking about, he's not talking about parents, he's talking about the world. He says, who deserves most? He said, your mother. And he said, after that, he said, your mother. He said, after that, he said, your mother. And then he said, after that, he said, your father. So he said, mother three times before he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned father. Now, that does not mean the father is not important. Of course, the father is also important, also very important. But it shows the very the great recognition and the great appreciation that is given in Islam to the woman and in this case to the mother, and the appreciation for the pain and suffering that she goes through in order to bear children. SubhanAllah, when I think about this whole thing, this desire to bear children is something that I as a man cannot even begin to understand. And I don't think any man can understand this desire to bear children. Having children from a man's perspective is a very different thing from a woman's perspective. For a man, if he wants to have a child, he doesn't have to go through any pain and suffering. But for the woman, if she wants to have a child, then she has to not just go suffer a difficulty, but as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, from difficulty to difficulty. It goes from, from starting from the pregnancy, starting from the conception itself. The first thing that she has, most people, those who don't have it are very lucky, but otherwise, the first thing she has is morning sickness. So she's throwing up all the time. Now, how nice can that possibly be? And I know cases where the entire 9 months this continues. The whole of that pregnancy period, this poor mother is throwing up all the time. And I don't know of any woman who says, you know what, let me get an abortion. I'm not talking about the legality and whether it is permissible. I'm just saying that nobody even thinks about that. The woman does not say, this is too much, sorry, I can't bear this. Get about this thing and I'm done with it. No, they don't do that. They continue with that. They, despite the fact that they are some people, I mean, I know people who have been literally spent their 9 months in bed because the moment they get up, they have to throw up. It also shows the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows who the Khaliq is. Because right when the fetus needs nutrition, the source of nutrition of the fetus is what the mother eats. And the mother cannot keep anything down. Everything she eats, she throws up. So this shows us also and gives us this, it's a guidance to us to say that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the creator. It is not the mother. The mother is only the means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates what he wants to create. The mother is only the means. It's not the mother is not the creator. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proving by creating this situation, where at the most critical part of the development of the fetus, the woman cannot retain any food. And that is the sole source of nourishment and nutrition for the fetus. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah Razim. My brothers and sisters, so, and then this continues, and then it ends in the most terrible pain that a human being can suffer, and that is the pain of labor. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us and warning us, and Allah is saying, have some appreciation for the fact that if your mother had not taken all this trouble, if your mother had not gone to all this trouble, then you would not even exist. Right. So alhamdulillah, this is the idhn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are must be grateful to our parents, no doubt, must be grateful to the woman, no doubt, but also, and even more importantly, we need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu for this, for the blessing of life, for the blessing of coming into this world, and for the blessing of guidance to Islam, and for the blessing, therefore, of a focus, or at least the opportunity to focus on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can end up, inshallah, in Jannah one day. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. The desire to have children is so visceral and primordial and fundamental that only a woman can understand that urge. And had it not been for that, the human species would have come to an end. And really seriously thinking, mothers make the world. I mean, there's no doubt about that, that mothers make the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew our attention to this burden, both physical and emotional, that our mothers bore when they bore us. Right? When they had us, this is the thing. And it's a miracle that happens all around us if we only have the eyes to see. It's a miracle because of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that though the woman bears the burden of the development of the fetus, the actual development is independent of her will. Right? She bears the burden, but the development itself is independent of her will. A human who is to breathe air and who will drown if he is held underwater for a few minutes spends 9 months breathing not air but water, encased in a membranous sac filled with amniotic fluid, from which it also derives nutrition. The fetus is alive and it's a human being, work in process. And that's why abortions are not permitted in Islam once the fetus is 120 days or 4 months old, because once the fetus has life, it is a living being, and to abort it would be tantamount to murder. And so therefore this is not permitted in Islam. The only exception is where if the pregnancy is allowed to continue, it would endanger the life of the mother, in which case the fetus may be aborted, is permitted to be aborted to save the mother's life. My brothers and sisters, as I mentioned to you earlier, in the development itself, the criticality of the nutrition of the fetus and what happens with regard to the morning sickness and the mother's inability to retain her meals, this is all signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the whole point to understand, is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us his signs over and over again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates whatever he wills. And that's why he said, Lillahi mulku samawati wal ardi yakhluqu ma yasha yahabu liman yasha'u inatha wa yahabu liman yasha'u dhukur aw yuzawwijuhum dhukuranan wa inatha wa yaj'alu man yasha'u aqima innahu alimun qadir. Allah said in Surah Ash-Shura, which means To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. He creates what He wills. He bestows female offspring upon whom He wills. And He bestows male offspring upon whom He wills. Or He bestows both males and females. And He renders barren whomever He wills. If you feel like sneezing, if you press here, that's what I just did. Like this. I was getting a sneeze. I didn't want to sneeze. So if you press just below here, like this, press hard, the sneeze will stop. Unless it's, you know, beyond the point of no return. But otherwise, it's the sneeze will stop. So this is a short lesson within a lesson. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. He creates whatever He wills. He bestows female offspring upon who He wills, and He bestows male offspring upon who He wills, or He bestows both males and females, and He renders barren whoever He wills. Verily, He is the all-knower and able to do all things. My brothers and sisters, really remember this ayat, because many times I've seen people getting into a frenzy to have children and resorting to all kinds of gymnastics and getting depressed and harassing each other, and you know, wives harassing the husband harassing the wife, going to fertility clinics and so on. And then it becomes worse, because people then start indulging in shirk, because then they will go to, you know, various gurus and whatnot and peers. Who give them, all sorts of amulets and so on and so forth. And may Allah protect us. This is one of the reasons for a lot of the scandals that happen at such places. This frenzy to have children. It's almost like having a child is some kind of award and proof of the value of the parents, especially mothers. Women especially are rejected if they don't have children. This is a terrible thing in our at least Eastern societies, and all of these are signs of jahiliyyah. I mean, they're utterly, utterly ridiculous. And Allah Subhanahu wa Taala told us this. Somebody asked me this question once. They said, "What if some people are not blessed with children?" So I said to him, "Who said that children are a blessing?" Who said children are a blessing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them a trial and a test. Innama lamwalukum wa auladukum. What did Allah say? Fitna. Allah said, this is your wealth and your children are a test. Allah called them a test. Allah didn't call them a blessing. They can become a blessing or they can become a curse, depending on the kind of tarbiyah you give them. And by themselves, they are a test. So be careful about asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tests. So when you make this dua, "Oh Allah, give me a child, you can end up with a child that you will then regret having. Right? You will wish that I had not made this dua, you will wish that Allah had not given me this child. Don't put yourself in that situation. Allah will give you children if that is decreed for you, and alhamdulillah, what Allah gives is good. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you that which He wants to give you, and to give that to you with afia, so that the child does not become a test for you. There are people who have children, and those children then turn out to be such evil creatures that quite literally the parents wish that the child would die, or the child would, that they wish they had never had this child. Now, don't do that. Be content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because remember, the one who wrote the decree is Rahmanur Rahimu fi dunya wal akhirah. The one who wrote that decree for you is far more merciful even than your mother can be. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi was dying in his last moments, and a friend of his came to meet him. So he sat with him and he asked him, he said, "Ya Sufyan, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you this choice. And if Allah says, on the day of judgment, if Allah says, I can give you this choice, you can have your hisab, you can have your accounting done by your mother, or I can do it. Which one would you choose? So Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi immediately said, I will say, Ya Allah, you do my accounting. You do my accounting, not my mother. So this friend said, this is a strange reply you are giving, because if your mother does your accounting, don't you think it is better for you? Because your mother is, she is your mother. I mean, she loves you and she wants the best for you. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for me as his creature far exceeds my mother's love for me as her son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafurur Rahim. My mother is not Ghafurur Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahmanur Rahim fi dunya wal akhirah. My mother is not that. So I choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even over my mother. Now this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for you that you should have daughters, then that is the best thing for you. If Allah decreed for you that you should have sons, then that is the best thing for you. If Allah decreed for you that you should have both, alhamdulillah, this is good for you. If Allah decreed for you that you should have neither, this is the best thing for you. And when you do get this, when you get these children, remember, Allah called them a test. Allah said, this is a test for you. In another place, in Surah Taqabun, Allah called them aduwwal lakum. He said, they are your enemies. So seriously, I'm not saying that you should treat them as enemies. I'm just saying that don't get carried away by this whole business of children. You have been given a responsibility. And I'm going to talk about that. That there is a concomitant responsibility on the children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this is what we are reiterating, on the children is the responsibility of being dutiful to their parents, of taking care of them, of respecting them, of helping them, of serving them. But don't think that this is a one-sided street. Don't think that you as a parent, all you need to do is to sit back and relax and enjoy. No. You have to do your work. You have been given a responsibility about which you will be questioned before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you did not discharge that responsibility, if you were at fault, you will be punished. And not only will you be punished, but your child who turns out that way because of your lack of effort in tarbiyah, this child, instead of becoming a sadaqatul jariyah for you, instead of becoming a means of ongoing goodness for you, can become the opposite of that. And you can be held responsible, illa mashallah, may Allah protect you and me, you can be held responsible for what that child does because of your misguidance of this child when that child was in your custody and when you were bringing up the child. So be very careful with this thing. Having children is not a joke. It's not a doll's house, doll's tea party. It's not just bringing a male Barbie doll and whatever the male of Barbie is called, I've forgotten, but whatever. I mean, it's not just putting them two together and, having a party and using that as an excuse for you to have a party. No. Please understand that children are a very, very serious thing, a very serious matter. When you have a child, your entire life changes, and it should change. This is what Allah has decreed for you. And that is why, when you have children, be very careful and seek Allah's forgiveness and seek Allah's guidance. And if Allah did not give you children, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you saved me from the test. Alhamdulillah. As for who will make dua for you, all those you helped will make dua for you. All those you taught will make dua for you. And if you say, if I don't have children, they will not make dua for you. My standard question to all of you is very simple. How many of you prayed in tahajjud for your parents today? That gives you the answer. You are somebody's child, but you didn't bother to get up in tahajjud. You didn't bother to pray in tahajjud. You didn't bother to pray for the maghfirat, for the forgiveness and for the benefit of your parents. So that gives your answer. If you had children, they would be like you. Why do you think your children will be anything else? They will be like you. They will also be sleeping. Right? At the time when they should be making dua for you, they will be sleeping just like you are sleeping when you should be making dua for your parents. Stop fooling yourself, my brother and sister. Stop fooling yourself. Your children are only as good as you are, if that. Because children listen with their eyes. They don't listen with their ears, they listen with their eyes. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. So ask yourself, what are you doing? Anytime somebody asks me a question about tarbiyah, what do you think I should teach my children? I tell them, go look in the mirror. You don't have to teach them anything. Do not teach them anything. There is nothing you can teach them. They are already learning. What are they learning? They are learning what you are doing. That's it. They are learning what they are seeing. So if they see you praying, inshallah, maybe they will pray. If they see you with tawakkul in times of stress, inshallah, they will have tawakkul in times of stress. If they see you and hear you cursing and yelling and screaming and raving and ranting and foaming at the mouth, that is what they will learn. If they see you misbehaving, if they see you oppressing people, that is what they will learn. And believe me, one day they will oppress you. Because that what you have taught the child is to oppress somebody who is too weak. And one day you will become too weak. So all those people who walk around like stud bulls, you know, abusing other people, a day will come when you will realize what the receiving end of it feels like. My brothers and sisters, ask yourself this question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about children, the ayat which I mentioned to you already, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَزِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal, and know that your wealth, your possessions and your children are a trial, they are a test for you. And that surely with Allah is a mighty reward. As I mentioned in Surah Taghamun, it's even more strongly mentioned. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ وَإِنْ تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عِندَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah said, O you believe, verily among your wives and your children, there are enemies for you. That is, there are people who, because of their demands, you will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, beware of them. Allah warned us. But if you pardon them and you overlook them and you forgive their faults, then verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving and most merciful. Your wealth and your children are only a test and a trial, whereas Allah with Him is a great reward, which is Jannah. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the decision to give children or not give children, and what to give, whether to give a boy or a girl, all of this is the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person with iman is content with the decision of his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. As one of the Salaf said, a very beautiful quote, he said, when I ask my Rabb for something and I get it, I am happy once. When I ask my Rabb for something and I get it, I am happy once. But when I ask my Rabb for something and He does not give it to me, I am happy 10 times. Because the former is my wish, while the latter is His wish. I remind myself and you, let us develop this Ridha bil Qada and save ourselves a lot of needless grief. I mentioned to you that because of your children and because of your spouses in many cases, many men are pushed to doing things which maybe otherwise they wouldn't have done. I'm not placing all the blame at the feet of the spouses and the children. I'm saying that that's one possibility. That if you see somebody who's, for example, who's, you know, borrowing money on interest, building a big house, who's filling that house with gadgets of this kind and that kind, and so on and so forth, a lot of that is really demands from the family. You know, demand of the spouse, demand of children, including almost on a daily basis. You know, there is this wedding part, wedding, somebody's wedding, begani shadi mein Abdullah Diwana. Ab Abdullah Diwana gaya to uski Abdulli bhi hota, usko bhi hona, joda naya hona, kya ki hona, zevar hona. Kahan se lata? So the point is that, you know, he wants to go to this, he and she both have to go to this wedding. And then she said, no, I can't wear this same thing which I wore the last time. So I need a new dress, I need a new, you know, whatever it is. Maybe I need some jewelry. So this fellow is under pressure now to provide for all that. And then he has no legal means of getting it. So he starts resorting to illegal things. He forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the process. Again, please understand this. I'm not saying it's only because of this. There are people who do it because of their own personal greed, and it's not as if all men are, free from greed and such pious awliya Allah, and it's only the women who are spoiling them or the children. That's not true. If men straighten up their act, this world would be a much, much better place. But this is one of the major factors. There's no doubt about that. That this is one of the big factors where you end up doing things which otherwise maybe you would not have done because of this pressure of providing for the family. So you are working day and night, you are stressing yourself out and so on and so forth because you have this responsibility of providing for the family. My brothers and sisters, now in the question of how obedient to be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to be obedient and dutiful to the parents to the extent that He ordered us not even to express dislike for what they may order us to do. Normally speaking, whatever it is, you know, no matter how tedious or inconvenient time-wise or something, or no matter how inconvenient because, the parents says, I should do this and then at that time I'm doing something else, I really don't want to do what my mother tells me to do or father tells me to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not only must you do it, but you must not even show your dislike. You must not even show that you didn't like what they said us. وَخَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُوهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاهَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us some advice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us the manners of dealing with our parents in Surah Al-Isra, Surah Bani Israel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and your Rabb had decreed that you worship none but Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, and that you should be dutiful to your parents. If one of them or both of them attain old age in your life, do not even say to them, oof. Don't even show by the wrinkles on your forehead or by your facial expression or by any verbal expression that you dislike something they said, or that you are tired of them, or you are impatient with them. Allah said, do not express even impatience with your parents. And then Allah said, do not shout at them, don't get angry with them, obviously don't curse them, but address them in terms of honor. Be respectful to them, show your respect. Even the words, I'm having difficulty bringing them out of my mouth, but I have to say it because I'm sitting here. Do not strike your parents. Do not beat your parents. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. That I have to say something like this. This exists in our society. This exists in our Muslim society. Believe me, there are people, there are these badtareen, badkar, badmash, badbakht people who hit their parents. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Astaghfirullah al-azim. Go and fall at their feet, kiss their feet, apologize to them, beg their forgiveness, otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will roast you in the hellfire. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And if that is how you treated them, and if your parents died, then go and spend humongous amounts of money in charity and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give that award of that charity to your parents and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. Because believe me, on the day of judgment, if you are resurrected and you are standing before the throne of Allah, and if your mother is there asking for justice, or if your father is there asking for justice, wallahi, I don't want to even think of what will happen to you. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So those of you who do this kind of stuff, I don't care what the parents do. Don't tell me that, you know, my father is like this, my mother is like this, my father doesn't listen to me, my mother doesn't listen to me, they are difficult. Doesn't matter. Allah has not given you that choice. As long as they are not telling you to do something which is haram, as long as they are not telling you to commit shirk, as long as they are not telling you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as they are not leading you, or they are not being toxic. I will come to that. Toxic parents do exist. And I will talk about that also equally frankly. But I am addressing now the children. You have to honor your parents. You have to obey your parents. And you must take care of your parents and serve your parents. And there is no choice in that. You have not been given a choice to say, do that if they are nice to you. My brothers and sisters, this is to the extent that these laws of how to treat your parents, they apply even if your parents are not Muslim. Think about this. This is the justice of Islam. There is no requirement that for parents to receive good treatment from their children who may be Muslim, that the parent also should be Muslim. No. If you have reverted to Islam, your parents are still non-Muslim. They, in terms of treatment, they still deserve the best treatment from you. And they deserve even more that you make dua for their hidayat and for them to be enriched and given Islam. The most beautiful story about this, one of the best dalail of this, is from the seerah of Rasulullah SAW. Umme Habiba, the daughter of Abu Sufyan bin Harb, before he became Muslim, and we call him radiallahu anhu, of course, because he became Muslim. But the daughter of Abu Sufyan was the wife of Rasulullah SAW. She was married to another man. They made hijrat to Abyssinia, to Habasha, and there she was divorced. And Rasulullah ﷺ sent a proposal of marriage, and he married her. So now she came from there to Medina, and she was living with Rasulullah ﷺ. This was a time where, after Sulh Hudaybiyah, the Quraysh broke the treaty. So Abu Sufyan was very worried that Rasulullah ﷺ would now retaliate. So he came to Medina. He came to Medina to apologize. He never apologized for what he did and what his people did, but he would try to see if he could, you know, do some political bargaining. So he came to Medina. So when he came to Medina, he went first to his daughter's house, to Umme Habiba's house, radiallahu anha. And as he entered her house, on one side there was a platform on which was spread the bed of Rasulullah. So he came there and he was about to sit on this platform, on the bed of Rasulullah, when Umme Habiba, radiallahu anha, she folded up the bed. She folded up the bed so that Abu Sufyan could not sit on it. He had to sit on the bare platform. So Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, he asked her, he said, oh, you folded up your husband's bed because it is not good enough for me, huh? Yeah, because I'm the chief of the clan, I'm your father, and so on and so forth. So he said, you folded up the bed because it is not good enough for me. Is that why you did that? Umme Habiba, radiallahu anha, said, I folded up the bed because you are not good enough for the bed. You are unclean. Now, later on, she told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam this incident.
Now imagine, see if you are in this place, that your father-in-law is your sworn enemy. Your father-in-law's sole purpose in life is to destroy you, is to kill you. Right? So this there's no hidden secret there. Your father-in-law, and I must say in this case maybe your mother-in-law, right, is your sworn enemy, and his aim is to destroy you, and he has done everything in his power. I mean, before that time he has led armies against you and so on and so forth. Now he comes to your house, and your wife, who is his daughter, this thing happens where your wife, who is his daughter, does not allow him to sit on your bed, and then she gives him this this pert reply, where she says, you are not good enough for my husband's bed, you are not good enough to sit where my husband sits. Tell me, how would you feel? I suggest to you that maybe you'll be very happy. You'll say, fantastic, this is the kind of woman I want, who's completely and totally loyal to me, even against her own father. And her father, or in any case, is a bad man. Somebody who is my enemy, and my wife is my supporter. So she answered her father. And so what? She was rude. It's okay. I mean, after all, the man deserves that. This is perhaps how you would have thought about that. This is perhaps maybe how I would have thought about it. But what was Rasulullah's reaction? When Umm Habibah radiallahu anha told Rasulullah that my father came, he was about to sit on your bed, I folded it up. He said, oh, you're folding it up because you don't want, because the bed is not good enough for me, is it? And I said to him, no, I'm folding it up because you are not good enough for the bed. This is what I said to my father. What was Rasulullah's reaction? Rasulullah said, you have not done a good thing. He said, you did not do a good thing. He said, you should be dutiful to your father. You should be respectful to your father, no matter who he is. And that's why I'm saying to you that in Islam, being dutiful to your parents, being respectful to your parents, respecting your parents, even if they are disagreeable in some way, this is your duty, and this continues to be your duty, even if your parents are not Muslim. It does not matter if they are not Muslim. It does not give you the right to be undutiful to them. It does not give you the right to be disrespectful to them because they are not Muslim. You must still be respectful to them. You must still show them mercy and kindness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and lower unto them the wing of submission and humility through mercy. You know, I've seen this happening so many times where, I'm now at an age where I've seen children growing up from being little children to now being parents. So I've seen them when they were little kids, tiny little children, you know, the mother changing the diapers and father carrying them and so on and so forth. And today, this young man is a strapping 6 foot plus, and a lot of them are oriented towards bodybuilding and whatnot, so they've got big muscles and so forth. And now the parents as you grow older, you know, your body also shrinks, so you actually lose some height. So you lose height, your body shrinks, you are now weaker. Maybe because now you have arthritis or something, your back is hurting, something is hurting. So when you're walking also, you're a little bit bent. And then there is this huge hulk which comes at you. And if he is not happy about something, he will talk to you in a loud voice or something like that. I mean, it's so intimidating. It is so intimidating. And I've seen parents literally shrink. You can see the fear in their faces. Even though if you talk to the boy, he might say, no, I was not doing anything. I was not going to hit them or something. And la hawla khota, good kids. I mean, not. But just the physical dominance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't do that. Be aware of this. Be aware that without intending, you can become very domineering and you can become very dominating. So lower the wing of submission and humility. Submit yourself. Go sit at their feet. Don't even sit on the same sofa or bench with them. Go sit at their feet. Reduce or shrink yourself. Don't stand like this. Go down. Go down. And then Allah said, make dua. Make dua for them. Right? Make dua for them. And say, Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. O Allah, O my Rabb, bestow on them your mercy as they did bring me up when I was small. Allah used even the word Rabb in this context, because the word Rabb is somebody who takes something which is naqis, which is small, weak, incomplete, and takes it to a state of perfection. Shay naqis ko batadrij kamal ke darje ko pahunchane ka naam rububiyat hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat of rububiyat is to take something which is incomplete, which is small, which is weak, and raise it to a state where it becomes perfect. More inshallah in our next class on Surah Al-Luqman, duty of parents. As I mentioned, I'm going to talk also about the parents' responsibility towards their children. But do give a thought to what I have said and sit down and look at yourself. Look at your own behavior. Be absolutely brutally frank with yourself. And if whatever correction you need to do, do it. Because as I told you, you don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where the one seeking justice against you is your own mother, is your own father. That you don't want. You do not want that, because there is nothing that you can do in this life. There is no good deed, there is nothing that you can do in this life which will be enough to pay for that injustice that your mother or father will bring against you. So don't do that. If you are in that situation, the time to change is right now. Do it right now before you die. We don't know when we are going to die. And if you are not in that state, alhamdulillah, all power to you. Continue in the good work. Be kind to parents. Don't be fair to them. Be over that. Be merciful to them. Be kind to them. Give them as much as you can give, and give more, because that is something that they did for you. And we look at that in the next class, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمة